Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vardhari
Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vardhari
Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jirada Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Premanandi Srila Prabhupada ki Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki Hare Nam Sankirtan ki Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru Rangaranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pushtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminti Namani Namaste Sarasate Devi Gaura Vani Vacharini Nirvasesha sanyavari paschachadeshitari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Text 27. The title of the chapter is Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Please repeat. Hoyantam Agnayaha Samyak Brahmanai Brahma Vadibu Vadibihi Anang Puhugunang Tebyaha Deyang Vaha Dhenu Dakshinaha. Which one takes it down? This one? Can you bring it down? I can't see the book when it's stuck in place. Huyanta magnayak samyag.
Huyanta magnayak samyag.
Brahmanair brahmavadibhi.
Brahmanair brahmavadibhi.
Anang bahu gunang tebyo.
Anang bahu gunang tebyo.
Deyang va denu dakshinaha.
Deyang va denu dakshinaha.
Huyanta magnayak samyag. Brahmanair brahmadvadibhi.
Brahmanair brahmadvadibhi.
Anang bahu gunang tebhyo.
Anang bahu gunang tebhyo.
Deyang va denu dakshinaha.
Deyang va denu dakshinaha.
Huyantam magnayak samyag.
Huyantam magnayak samyag.
Brahmanair brahmadvadibhi. Anang bahu gunang tebhyo.
Anang bahu gunang tebhyo.
Deyang va dena dakshinaha.
Deyang va dena dakshinaha.
Huyanta magnayak samyag.
Huyanta magnayak samyag.
Brahmanair brahmavadibhi.
Brahmanair brahmavadibhi.
Anang bahu gunang tebhyo. Deyang va dena dakshinaha.
Deyang va dena dakshinaha.
Uyantam agnaya samyak.
Uyantam agnaya
samyak. Brahmanair brahmavadibhi.
Anang
bahu gunang tebhyo.
Deyang
va dena dakshinaha. Namaho gunang tebhyo. Deyang va denu dakshinaha. Ladies, Uyanta Magnayak Samyak. Anang bahu gunang tebhyo. Deyang va denu dakshinaha. Huyantam should be invoked. Agnayaha, the sacrificial fires. Samyak, in the proper manner. Brahmanaihi, by the Brahmanas. Brahmavadibhihi, who are learned in the Vedas. Anam, food. Bahu gunam, well prepared. Devyaha, to them. Deyam, should be given. Vaha, by you. Denu dakshinaha, cows and other gifts as remuneration. Translation and purport. The Brahmins who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. As Krishna's still explaining this great festival of Govardhan Puja to his father and the other members of the family, how important this festival is. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Lord Sri Krishna instructed his father and other residents of Vrindavan in the technical details of this Vedic sacrifice to assure the quality of the sacrifice and also to inspire Nanda and the others with faith in the concept of such a sacrifice. Thus the Lord mentioned that there must be orthodox Brahmins, regular sacrificial fires and proper distribution of charity, and things were to be done in the order given by the Lord. When Prabhupada installed the deities in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, who knows what year that was? When were the deities in Vrindavan? How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Who has been? Hands up. Quite a few. And I'm sure you've all been to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So when were those deities installed? 73 Radha Gokul and Nanda were installed at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Excuse me? When?
71?
No. Getting further away. Huh? Now it's a guess matter, isn't it? Somebody said something, what they say? 75. 1975, quite late. So next year, of course, is the 40th anniversary of Radha Gokulananda's installation. Is that right? Next year. It's a big year. Of course, the Prabhupada installed Radha Gokulananda. It was mainly, there was some pujas, mainly kirtan. That was the main thing in these sacrifices. Lord Chaitanya, there's no mention of Lord Chaitanya, although of course he's born as a Brahmana, sannyasi. There's not really any mention of him in regard, at least in the Sikshastakam prayers. Of course he went to all the temples, but what did he do when he would go to the temples? He didn't do puja. I don't recollect, at least after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas, or after he began his sanctan movement, we don't see much reference of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing deity worship. He would go to the temples and perform kirtan, specifically the worship of kirtan. So when Prabhupada installed the deities in Vrindavan, he said kirtan is enough. Now we're installing Krishna Balaram Radhashyama Sundar, but Gaur-Nitai, okay, that's understood. But still, Prabhupada, he engaged priests to do the pujas. Same thing in Hyderabad. There he engaged South Indian priests to do the various puja for installation of the deities. So what reason is not necessary? Well, in Vrindavan, it was a little trick of Srila Prabhupada, really, because in order to have the local people of Vrindavan authorize the whole event, and thus because they were involved in it, in doing the pujas and the yajnas and mantras and all these things, they're responsible. They had to accept that this is an authorized temple, because Prabhupada engaged them in doing the various, you know, yajnas. Well, Pujana was there too, Nitai. In Hyderabad, he engaged South Indian priests. Similarly, because in Hyderabad, South India, so people are very much in, little ritualistic, like that. In Vrindavan, for the local caste Brahmins, Prabhupada, you can say, tricked them in this way. As they were thinking, we're not really authorized. So in this way, they have to accept. But not really in this age of Kali, so absolutely required. Krishna's engaged in the Brahmins. This is their business. This is their business. The Lord, of course, has created the Varnashram system. And every part has to act according to its part. So there were Brahmins there, qualified Brahmins. We don't find such qualified Brahmins really in Kali Yuga. But then there were qualified Brahmins, so Krishna's engaging them in this way, performing the various sacrifices which are required, the yajnas which are required. Basically speaking, of course that wasn't exactly Kali Yuga, but inspire in that time, deity worship was recommended. So to inspire people's faith in the performance of this sacrifice, in general, in the performance of yajna for the pleasure of Vishnu. The performance of yajna or sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, that we can become freed from our entanglement in this material world. So the Lord here is, he doesn't want people, because the deity, demigod worship is, he says, also yajna and sacrifice and so on, but it doesn't free one from this material world. But Krishna wanted to emphasize that, especially because otherwise people, the tendency, we see that maybe some religions of the world kind of grew out of this false execution of sacrifice, taking advantage. We see that a lot in the Christian history with in the Old Testament, the Jews, how they were doing so many sacrifices which were really not authorized, concocting, making up idols and offering things which are not according to scriptural or authorized in that way. And also with Islam, to a large extent in the Middle East, such things were going on, all kinds of demigod worship and so on. Because the leaders, the Brahmins, are not qualified in this Kali Yuga to ascertain what sacrifices actually meant to be performed. They tend to, it's like you go to somewhere like Bali. How many of you have been to Bali? Who's been to Bali? No one's been to Bali? No. Don't go there for your Brahmachari retreats. I guess it's a long way to go. Huh? Nice island. It's supposed to be Hindu, although they're all local Indonesian people. There's not Indians, they're not there. It's all local Indonesians. But tradition across the whole of Indonesia, as was Malaysia and so many countries, they were all Hindu. Maybe 1,000 years ago, they were all Hindu. Less than 1,000 years ago, 500 years just over. And so many Hindu temples, beautiful temples were there, so many. And a little Buddhists were there too, of course, when Buddhism started, but mostly Hindu. And some of the islands are still Hindu, like Lombok and Bali are still, Bali particularly is mostly Hindu. And many devotees, ISKCON devotees there now too, although a movement is banned in Indonesia, it's illegal. It's a Muslim government, it's 90% Muslim country. There are 10 million Hindus, so you can imagine how many people live there, less than 10% Hindu. So there's over 200 million Muslims live there, predominantly Muslim country. And the government has a system that they have four accepted religions. They allow them, of course Islam being the primary one. And they allow Christianity, and they allow Hinduism, and they allow Buddhism. These are the only four religions allowed. And you have to be under one or the other, otherwise you're not authorized. They won't allow you to operate, legally at least. unless you're under one of those four. So ISKCON, Hare Krishna movement, who couldn't get in under the label of Islam, obviously, and not really as Christian either, so it's Buddhist or Hindu, not really Buddhist, so we had not very little choice but except to apply under the name of Hindu. Well, the Hindus refused to accept us as Hindus. Well, we're not really Hindus, but on the basis that we're, you know, our philosophy is incorrect, and only if we allow them to rewrite our Prabhupada's books will they allow us to be authorized, because in their Prabhupada says some different things about, you know, the duties of the Brahmins and about meat eating, because they all eat meat, they even eat beef, you know, they keep cows and they eat them. They say, some of them, that by eating a cow you become purified. Their philosophy. You know, this is the perversion which takes place when one's separated from the root. In India, it's coming into, and when the far distance, because they're separated from India by time, circumstance, and so on. So all these perversions, and they're all demigod worshippers, or not even demigods, worshipping trees and ghosts and all kinds of images. Weird looking images, they look like scarecrows and all sorts of different things which they do, and the priests just take advantage of it. Well, let's look now at the duties of a priest. So I just give that as an example just to show how perverted things are in this Kali Yuga. So engaging such priests or such Brahmins in performing yoga doesn't do much good at all, as we heard yesterday, was it, we mentioned that story of Srila Prabhupada when the two sannyasis went to the temple. Did we mention that yesterday in Vrindavan? Did we mention that here? Did we mention that here, or was it somewhere else? Maybe it was in, I don't know, we forget. Well, I can't remember. If you can't remember, how will I remember? You have a young brain. Anyway, one time when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, two of his sannyas disciples were going around in earlier days visiting the local temples, the caste Goswami temples in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar, Radha this and so on, different temples. And they were in one of the temples, and the priest said to them, seeing these two white sannyasis, they know, very good, if you carry on like this, you may be very fortunate that in your next lifetime you can be born a Hindu and you will be able to worship the deities like this. They kind of blessed them, you know. So they didn't say anything, they didn't know what to say. They went back to Prabhupada and told Prabhupada what happened, and Prabhupada said, so you should go back now, tell those two Brahmin priests that they're very good, if you carry on like this in your next lifetime you may be very fortunate to be born in New York. And you may then have the opportunity to meet the Sankirtan party and become a devotee in the Sankirtan movement. In Kali Yuga, this is not, it's just, I mean, you can see that mostly it's, you know, it's just not the yogya, it's not the sacrifice for Kali Yuga. It's not the thing to do. And the only reason we do it, and Prabhupada instilled it in this movement, various types of sacrifices, and given Brahminical initiation and so on and so forth. Many of Lord Chaitanya's disciples were not, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not a Brahmana. He didn't take Brahmin initiation. It's not required. It's not required. It's only for the sake of preaching that we know, like, because people, and also upgrade the quality, especially in the West where people are not so familiar, let's say, with the standards of cleanliness and so on, to upgrade the standards, to create more of a mode of goodness which is more favorable for the Sankirtan Yoga, for the chanting of the holy name and devotional service in general. So, and also because people don't, otherwise, especially in India, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas for the same reason, people don't accept you. You know, you can't really do any deity worship in India unless you're a Brahmin, and or even preach, people don't accept you. The business of the Brahmin, traditionally this is the business of the Brahmin. see, where is this? Here. I'm going to read something now from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a little bit on this subject. Beautiful section, Madhavendra Puri. It's very soon will be the, what is it, the appearance or the disappearance, the day after Nrisimhadev's appearance day. It's Madhavendra Puri's appearance or disappearance, one or the other. Very, very big day, very important day. Don't let it hide. Nrisimhadev's appearance day is sandwiched between Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day and Madhavendra Puri and maybe Srinivasacharya and others festival on the Sunday. So the big days. Take advantage of these days. Let's see, where are we? Here we go. Oh, this is a repeat of the same verse. I didn't realize it. Madhavendra Puri, of course, was a great Vaishnava and really the first to introduce in our disciplic succession the worship of Krishna in Madhurya Ras. Previously it was not introduced. It was hardly, wasn't even discussed. Even if some of the followers of our line ever had any concept of it, but even if they did, it was not discussed. So he was the first one to introduce this. So when he was in Vrindavan, he was on pilgrimage, he came to Vrindavan. There's a long story there, how, you know, how he uncovered the deity of Gopal, how Krishna guided him like that. And then he installed the deity of Gopal on top of Govardhan Hill. And then he started the puja. And let's see, where are we now? Not sure where we are. Yeah, and so they've already done that. And they've already installed the deity. And there's been kirtan, there's been big offerings of foodstuffs. All the villagers, like a repetition of this Govardhan puja ceremony, they all brought their offerings. Anakuta, a place called Anakuta on Govardhan Hill. Many of you have seen that place, passed that place on the hill, not far from Govinda Kund. And there he installed the deities. Then, let's see, seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered there were struck with wonder. They saw that the Anakut ceremony, which had been performed before during the time of Krishna, was now taking place again by the mercy of Madhavendra Puri. And then there's a description, Prabhupada basically describes exactly what we're reading right now. And I'll just read it for the sake of repeating. 10:24:26. I'm quoting yesterday's verse, actually. Prepare very nice foods of all description from the grains and ghee collected from the yajna. So here's an interesting extension of yesterday's verse. Because people brought all kinds of boga, grains and ghee. And then he asked the people from yesterday's verse, now prepare all kinds of nice items. Prepare rice, dal, halava, pakora, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations like sweet rice, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgulla, and laddu. A little further extension there. Okay, here we go. Do you like sandesh?
Yeah.
Mm. Can make it nicely. Rasgulla also. Make them really nicely. And laddu. Laddus. And sweet rice, sweet balls. Simply wonderful, yeah. Simply wonderful. And other kinds of sweet balls. Make them all very nicely. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna therefore advised the coward men to stop the Indra Yajna and begin the Govardhan Puja to chastise Indra, who was very much puffed up at being the supreme controller of the heavenly planet. Sometimes when we're puffed up, Krishna chastises us, you know, by not allowing us to get what we want, or you know, putting us in a situation where, you know, where, kind of, why is this always happening to me? Why are everybody always criticizing me? Why doesn't anyone recognize what I'm doing, you know? Why is he getting all the praise? I don't get any. I'm doing more work than they are. You know, sometimes we're very puffed up like that. So Krishna purposely, again and again and again, allows situations to occur, you know, which we don't like. You know, it's really, really to bring down our, to help to free us from our false ego. So Indra had a bit of false ego. He was a bit puffed up. He thought he was God. Thought he was the controller. So Krishna wanted to be kind to him. So he's Krishna's punishment is his kindness to free us from this false ego. So then the honest and simple coward man headed by Nandamaraj accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan worship, and it describes the whole ceremony, which you'll be reading. It's coming up in a few days. And then the next verse, all the Brahmins present on that occasion were initiated by Madhavendra Puri. That doesn't mean that they were previously initiated by him. You know, in other words, they weren't like his disciples. So listen to this. They were initiated by Sri Madhavendra Puri into the Vaishnava cult, and Madhavendra Puri engaged them in different types of service. Purport. In the scriptures it is stated, Satkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharadaha. Who knows what that means? Satkarma nipano vipro. Sat means? Pardon? It can mean. What else can it mean? Can be. What else? Sat Goswamis? Six. Now they're giving you a clue. Karma means?
Activities.
Huh? And vipra? So what does it mean?
Six activities.
Yeah, there are six main activities of Brahman. There's qualities by which Brahmins work. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't really mention much. He hints at these activities, but he doesn't mention directly. More it's the quality. It's the quality which determines a Brahmin, not what they do. But however, if they have the quality of a Brahmin, this is what they do. Satkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharadaha. A qualified Brahmin, let's see how many of these we can remember. A qualified Brahmin must be expert. Of course, if there's any qualified Brahmin, this is not a question of remembering them because they're already doing them. You don't generally have to remember what you're doing. But not some Kali Yuga, you may have to be reminded. But generally speaking, one knows what's one doing. It's natural. You don't have to remind a dog to bark. Right? But dog, you're supposed to bark, you know. Dogs naturally bark. You know, that's a bone. You're supposed to go for the bone. Dogs automatically go. Right? So when one has that particular quality, you kind of automatically do these things. So, what are the six? Okay, who can hand up and mention one? You can say in English if you don't know the Sanskrit. Yes?
Recite mantras.
It's there, but it's not directly mentioned. Yes?
Yes,
you know that one. So what does that mean? Say one of the English. Yajana. What is that? Performing sacrifice, which includes deity worship. So, you know, you could say chanting mantras is part of that, but it's a broader topic. Performing sacrifices, and this is what's going on here. The yajaman, who's the yajaman? Pardon?
No.
Yeah, he's usually a grihastha or a kshatriya, and he engages the Brahmins in performing. Because, you see, although the kshatriyas are qualified to do, in most cases, all the activities of a Brahmin, they generally don't do all of them. They facilitate sacrifices, and they participate in sacrifices, but they don't generally, you know, take the position of the priest. That's the Brahmin's job. He performs sacrifice, he actually does the sacrifice. And he engages others in sacrifices and teaches them. So in this age of Kali, it's quite simple. What does a Brahmin do?
Chant
Hare Krishna and?
Restores deeds.
Yeah, that may be there too, but in terms of Yajana, well, these are all details, secondary details. He chants Hare Krishna and he
teaches
others to chant Hare Krishna. And the deity worship is basically to facilitate that. It's not important. It is important. Prabhupada wouldn't have put so much energy into it and emphasize it so much. It's very important. But it's primarily to facilitate the... And why we do yogyas? Why we do fire yogyas? What is the need? What is the purpose? You can't, I mean, huh? A letter for me? Yes. Well, we do yogas for that reason too, no doubt. Even in deity worship, you know, one of the five main limbs, but even of all the five, chanting is the most important. In deity worship, there's so much chanting in the holy name of the Lord. The same in yogas. It's not that we sit down. Sometimes you go into a yoga, and in ISKCON, even. The priest is sitting there chanting mantras, you know, on and on and on. Nobody has a clue what's going on. He doesn't explain. Neither he knows really what's going on. And it's just some repetition going on there for hours sometimes. And there's no chanting of the holy name. Maybe a few words in between or in the mantras themselves, of course. But Prabhupada emphasized chanting Hare Krishna during yogas. Throughout the whole yoga, the chanting of Hare Krishna should go on. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, you know, who can chant these mantras? Who is a priest? Who is a Brahmin? Who is qualified? Huh? Wasn't it when Bali Maharaj was performing that yajna? And then, of course, he offended Shukracharya, and Shukracharya cursed him to go to hell because Bali gave everything to Vamanadev, and Shukracharya was, of course, unemployed. He was on the dole, so he was very angry. He had to go on the dole. I don't know even if the government in those days were giving dole money, but he was unemployed because Bali gave everything away. So he was angry and he cursed Bali to go to hell. So Lord Vishnu asked Bali, Shukracharya, why did you do that? What was Bali Maharaj's fault? Tell me. And he said, actually he performed, he, there was no fault. He really didn't do any fault, but anyway, that's the, you know, what can we do? Mantatastantatashchidram dehakala avastida. He explained to Lord Vishnu that even if all the mantras are wrong, and the time is wrong, and the place is wrong, and the priest is wrong, and the paraphernalia is wrong, and the sacrifice is wrong, and everything's wrong, the vastu is wrong, wrong direction, everything's wrong, you know, it's not even clean, everything's upside down, as it almost always is in Kali Yuga. He said, anusankirtanam tava, that everything becomes nischitam, which means without fault, if what you're doing is accompanied by the holy name. So that was the key. He said, therefore, Bali Maharaj was not at fault because he chanted your holy name. But still, this is all part of your plan. What can I do? Shukracharya is acting as an instrument, although he appears to be the demon's guru. He's not the demon. So, you know, he was just acting on behalf of the Lord. So this is the main point in all sacrifices. The chanting of the holy name should be there in deity worship. It always should be the chanting of the holy name. This makes everything auspicious and everything successful. This is why Brahm Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan all successful. Lord Chaitanya doesn't really talk about anything else except for chanting the holy names in his Sikshastakam. And this is the yogya for this age. So the priests have to bear that in mind. We're not here just to become, you know, yogic Brahmins or something. Maybe a previous age, but not this age. The idea of having deity worship, of course, is to attract us in so many ways, but the essential one is to bring people together so that they become attracted and inclined to chant the deity's name or the holy name of Krishna. The same thing with fire sacrifices, is it attracts people to come, and the idea then is to get them all to chant Hare Krishna, to increase their faith in the performance of the Yuga Dharma, yoga, this Yuga Dharma sacrifice, for this Yuga Dharma. Of course, it also has an impression on the heart of the initiate or the people in general. It has a deep impression, which is also important. But what is that deep impression for? To try to help solidify their commitment to chant Hare Krishna. It's the essential purpose behind it. So that I made a promise that I would chant minimum 16 rounds every day. You know, and I sat in front of the yajna and the fire, the deity, this, that, the other. So you naturally feel more determined, more you're more obligated to do it, even if an artist is strong and so on, you're still determined to carry on. Sincere helps to increase our sincerity of these other devotional activities. So that's two. Yajana and Yajana, performing Vedic rituals and engaging or teaching others. What are two others? There are three partners. Excuse me? Patana and Patana. Yes, what Patana and Patana? It's not a place in Bihar.
Study and teach.
Yes, you study the scriptures and they teach. So the three things which they do and three things by which they maintain themselves. We'll come on to that in a minute. So we've got Patana and Patana, study of scripture and teaching others the scripture. Teaching others the scripture. See, the Brahmin is very broad-minded. They're not just employed. That's one of the reasons Brahmin is never paid. In Kali Yuga, things are so difficult. I mean, really, it is so difficult for most Brahmins in our movement to survive. Well, you can say we're not very qualified, but still, something is there. And it's very difficult in some cases. Then you become compromised and obligated to say, do, and things which, you know, according to the Yajaman's desire. But a Brahmin has to be independent. He's dependent on Krishna. Just like Chanaka Pandit was a Brahmin, although he wasn't a pure Vaishnava. Prabhupada quotes him many times. As soon as Chandragupta wanted to pay him, he was off. I'm gone. You can do what you like, but I'm not going to take a salary. I'm not going to become obligated to you. I'm rendering service just for the pleasure of the Lord, and you as a representative of the Lord, I'm trying to guide you. So, you know, it's not the business of the Brahmin, depending on the Lord. So in Kali Yuga, of course, it's become a little low class. So Brahmins don't take salaries, and that way they're free to say and do what they do. They're not obligated. They may want to be obligated, but they're not necessarily obligated. So this Kali Yuga, the things are all very, very different. So this Patana and Patana, they study the scriptures and they speak the truth. Now, that's again, it's when it's not very qualified as a Brahmana. One may speak and not speak in the right way. Say the wrong thing to the wrong person. You know what I mean? You know, so dissemination or discrimination as to who to give knowledge to is also a requirement when it comes to knowledge. It's not that you speak everything. In the West, there was one song, I don't know who sang it, and there's a famous statement, maybe it's there in the Bible, you shouldn't cast your pearls before swine. You know, it sounds a bit heavy, but the principle is there, because a swine doesn't know what to do with it. Or a child, you give the child knowledge, what will it do with it? Don't have any idea what to do with it. Misuse it, if it has any ability to even connect with it, it'll simply misuse the knowledge, isn't it? Doesn't know what to do with it. Or you give a little child a bunch of money, what will it do with it? Pardon? Well, if he's that mature, he'll spend, he'll give like £100 for a little bag of, you know, sweets, bar of chocolate. Doesn't care, he doesn't value the money at all. Like a monkey, right? Anyway, what a monkey does when it gets your camera or your glasses, you know, which cost $800. Monkey got my glasses a few years ago. I never make a mistake, but this time I do make a mistake. You all make mistakes, but really, I'm very conscious, very aware. But once in a while you forget, you know, you're in and out, and especially when you're taking pericope, you've got to keep putting them on to, you know, it's like constantly. And I had them on in the wrong place. In fact, it was a place where normally the monkeys don't pinch your glasses, but this guy came and pinched my glasses, these ones. They're $800 Australian, these glasses. Now, I didn't buy them, but that's what they cost. The optician gave them. And a monkey doesn't know that. He could have got $800 for these glasses. He didn't know it. But we got them back, one of the local men, of course, and rushed out of nowhere with a bunch of bananas, and within a couple of minutes, for a bunch of bananas and 100 rupees, extortionate price for a bunch of bananas, but you don't mind when you see your glasses at stake. The monkey quickly threw them back down on the ground, grabbed the bananas. So. But the monkey had no idea how much the glasses were worth, any more than a child may even just screw the paper up and chew it if it's a baby, right? Yeah, or just throw it away. Doesn't understand the value of jewels. Simple person doesn't understand the value of things, even if they're of adulthood. People don't understand the value of human life. They don't know what to do with it. So it's the Brahmin's duty to teach people what the real value of their life is, and also to teach them that which is relevant. In other words, you don't teach a person of Shuddha mentality Brahminical life. It's considered a sin, actually, according to the Vedic standards, because they misuse it. Even if they are a good guy, they don't get taught those things. A person gets taught what is relevant for their own duty, their own necessary situation. That's even there to a certain degree in modern day society, though it's changing. The education system's a bit, across the board now. It doesn't really ascertain the qualification of the student as much as it used to. They think that they can elevate everyone to the same level, but that's not the purpose, neither is it possible. It's to educate people in the proper way to perform their natural duty in relationship with Krishna. So that's the Brahmin's duty. So he teaches Kshatriyas according to Kshatriya needs, teaches Brahmins according to Brahminical needs, Vaishyas, and like that. He teaches everyone according to their degree. And for the Shudras, he doesn't exactly teach them, except to teach them to become faithful to the other three orders of life, and to try to be honest and so on, things like that. So that's Patana and Patana, Yajana and Yajana. What are the other two? Yeah, Dana, Patigraha, giving charity, Dana, and receiving charity. So there are three things the Brahmin does. One is he worships the deity. Two, he studies the scripture. And three, he gives charity. These three things. And for his livelihood, every order of life has a different, way of living, a different activity, and a different means of livelihood. Then it works well. Society can work nicely, providing the Brahmins are qualified, because they're not envious and they're not obligated, they're not purchased. That was one of the considerations in the battle of Kurukshetra, because Dronacharya, Kripacharya particularly, they became compromised, being basically employed by Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. So, they were punished as a result, although they were, well, that was all Krishna's arrangement. But they're showing example there. So the three means of livelihood for the Brahmins, of course, performing this. They perform a sacrifice. They teach. Basically, they teach. They teach daily worship. They teach necessary knowledge. And they receive, as a result of that, they receive, particularly, they receive charity. Generally, the Brahmins never even used to go to beg. They would simply perform sacrifices. Sometimes they would if there was a need, but they would perform sacrifices and they would teach. And people of various kinds, they may have many qualifications, maybe they're knowledge of Ayurveda, astrology. These things were not that everyone had everything, but different Brahmins had different expertise in different aspects of Brahminical life, so to speak. And they would teach accordingly. And they would give free medical help if they were medically inclined. They would give free astrology and so on. Nothing was charged. They would give free education to those who were qualified. And naturally, the children, the Gurukul, the tradition, you can read in the Krishna book, when Krishna was at Gurukul of Sandipani Muni, he and Sudama Vipra and others, they would go out begging for their spiritual master. That was tradition. That was part of Brahmacharya training, for the children to go out to the Grihasthas door to door and get grains and vegetables, whatever people would give, and bring it back as an offering to their spiritual master, Dakshin. So the spiritual master would basically live off of Dakshin, or charity of those whom he is serving in various ways. And he would not demand it, but it was expected. and everyone benefited. So he would receive that, then he would offer that in different performed sacrifice, offered in sacrifice and for everyone's benefit, and then the remnants of sacrifice would be distributed to everyone, even the low class persons. Everyone would get the benefit. Brahman would not keep more than his requirements, only bare necessity. He was satisfied, but he would accept charity to engage it in the service of Vishnu, not on his own, not so that he, you know, he builds a big house, you know, in Vrindavan or somewhere for his own comfort. No, he would use it all in the sacrifice of Lord Vishnu. Not that he gets a big car, you know, whatever it is, a big bank balance or something, but everything used in the service of Lord Vishnu. And that way everyone who gives the charity gets greatly benefited. They all benefit. But if they don't use it properly, the benefit is very less, very minimal. Giving charity to an unqualified Brahmin does not accrue so much result. So we can say, well, we're not qualified. And that's an understatement, at least in my case, if ever there was one. But because Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya have given us this opportunity to engage in Sankirtan Yajna, therefore we try to offer everything for Sankirtan Yajna to our spiritual master. Although we're receiving, Brahmins would also not receive from persons who are not qualified. They wouldn't receive charity from Shudras or less than Shudra, because they're not, well, first, a Shudra doesn't have anything to give anyway, generally. Maybe they do, very little. But they generally wouldn't accept. Of course, if they're Vaishnava, they would. That's why Nandavendra Puri is here in initiating these Brahmins into Vaishnavism. That's the higher principle. So although we may not be qualified according to Varnashram system, Lord Chaitanya has given everyone a chance to become a Vaishnava. Everybody. So we're initiated into the Vaishnava tradition. And our only qualification is that we're initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, and we're trying to follow his instructions by performing Sankirtan Yajna, whatever else he asks us to do. He asks us to do this and that, that's also Sankirtan. And in this way one is eligible to receive charity, even though we're not particularly elevated, as long as we offer that in the service of the spiritual master. Otherwise we become very, very, very implicated. It is very sinful to take charity, to go on the street and beg in the name of spirituality and using it for one's sense enjoyment. It is extremely sinful. And unfortunate, sorry to say, some devotees get caught up with that. They go out and they sell things and then they use it for their own family, their own material life. It is very sinful and should be stopped. If anyone's interested in their own welfare, they should stop doing it. If there's anyone, I don't know if anyone does that in this part of the world, but in some places they do. It's not good. Not good. Everything should be offered if we're asking charity from others, and it should be you, because only the Brahmins are allowed to do this. Even the Kshatriyas do not accept. They may do all six, they may be qualified to do all six, he wants it, but they will never receive charity. They never receive charity. Those who are of the nature of Kshatriyas are not meant to receive charity. It's not their duty. The Brahmin's duty is to receive, not their duty, but it's their right to receive charity, because they're going to use it for everyone's benefit, not for their own nest. And that's the reason that of course the charity given by the Brahmins is offered to the Lord Vishnu's prasadam. So they're giving charity, and acts of charity, sacrifice and austerity should never be given up, because they purify even the great souls. So everyone has a particular different type of when it comes to charity, sacrifice, austerity, different for each different group. And the Brahmins, they're at the head, they have to see, like the body, what is the business of this part of the body, this and this. The head has to know. Like that. I'll just finish this purport, then we'll finish. So we're teaching, all six of you mentioned it. On account of this Yajna, and the Brahmana being the head of society, performs all the Vedic rituals for the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. This is called Yajna, assisting others in performing ceremonies. The remaining two items are dhana and pratigraha. The Brahmin accepts all kinds of contributions, pratigraha, from his followers, namely Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. But he does not keep all the money. He keeps only as much as required and gives the balance to others in charity, the form of prasadam in different ways. In order for such a qualified Brahmin to worship the deity, he must be a Vaishnav. Thus, the Vaishnav's position is superior to that of the Brahmin. This example given by Madhavendra Puri confirms that even though a Brahmin may be very expert, he cannot become a priest or a servitor of the Vishnumurti unless he is initiated in Vaishnav mantra. The Vaishnav. After installing the deity of Gopal, Madhavendra Puri initiated all the Brahmins into Vaishnavism. He then allotted the Brahmins different types of service to the deity. From 4 in the morning until 10 at night, when there's Mangal Arati to Shaina Arati, there must be at least 5 or 6 Brahmins to take care of the deity. The Prabhupada is talking about ISKCON now. 6 Artis are performed in the temple and food is frequently offered to the deity and the prasadam is distributed. This is the method of worshipping the deity according to the rules and regulations set by the predecessors. Our Sampradaya belongs to the disciplic succession of Madhavendra Puri, who belong to the Madhva Sampradaya. We are in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was initiated by Ishwara Puri, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Our Sampradaya is therefore called the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. As such, we must carefully follow in the footsteps of Sri Madhavendra Puri and observe how he installed the Gopal deity on top of Govardhan Hill, how he arranged and performed the Anukut ceremony in only one day, and so forth. Our installation of deities in America and in the wealthy countries of Europe should be carried out in terms of Sri Madhavendra Puri's activities. All the servitors of the deity must be strictly qualified as Brahmins and specifically must engage in the Vaishnav custom of offering as much prasadam as possible and distributing it to the devotees who visit the temple to see the Lord. Depending on the sacrifice, Krishna will be pleased if we perform the sacrifice. We worship the deities, we chant Hare Krishna in front of the deities, we offer them gorgeous prasadam and deity worship, and all the remnants are then distributed to those who visit the temple. This is how we please the deity. Everyone who comes teaching, I was in the manor in 1975, Prabhupada, sitting in the temple room, and in the middle of the afternoon, 4:15, the arati had just finished. Prabhupada walked into the temple room, surprisingly, out of the blue. He just came down from his room, and there was only one other person in the temple room. Prabhupada walked into the temple room, and there was one devotee walking behind him. His name was Narendra, who left his body many years ago. He was an English devotee, who was not Prabhupada's servant. Prabhupada's servant was not with him. Prabhupada walked into the temple, and I don't know what exactly he was doing. I never found out, never asked. But he suddenly walked into the temple room in the middle of the afternoon. And the curtains were open, the arati had just finished, and there was one guest there, I've forgotten her name. She's now in Bangladesh, American lady. Her son was named Animisha, I've forgotten her name. And she wasn't initiated then, she was a guest. She'd been coming for a year or two, but she wasn't very familiar with everything, just coming now and again. She's a world, she was a model, she was traveling the world. So she, Prabhupada came in, and when saw Prabhupada coming, was shocked. I immediately bowed down, and she also bowed down. But she bowed down with her feet towards the deity. So Prabhupada didn't say anything. He said, but to her, he didn't say anything. Then he called for the pujari. Where's the pujari? He said. Where is the pujari? And out from behind the curtain came the pujari. It was a Mataji, I won't remember the name, they're still around, very prominent devotee. Came out from behind the curtain, and Prabhupada said, so, you are the pujari? And she said, yes, she's Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so, what are you doing? He said, I'm washing the dishes, Prabhupada. Because he just finished the offering, the arati and the bhoga offering. So in those days, the dishes were the same place, they were washing them behind that little corner to the right there behind the window there. So she was there washing the dishes, and Prabhupada said, no, what are you doing? So she was now really bewildered. Well, I'm supposed to say she did not know. She was just stood there like, you know, dumb. And Prabhupada looked at her and said, you are the pujari? And she didn't really know what she was supposed to say. And then Prabhupada said, you are the pujari and you are not teaching the guests how to offer their obeisances properly? He said, what type of pujari are you? as your duty is to teach the guests how to offer their obeisances in the temple. So that's the pujari's duty, is to preach, not just do. Otherwise it's only half chicken philosophy. You won't get any eggs. You've got to share Ramanas to be open, broad, preacher, like that. You may not be a learned scholar in every respect, but whatever we do have, you have to give it to others. So that was just one little example that Prabhupada gave of the duty of a Brahmin. Hare Krishna. So we all have that duty. Whatever little we've received, we should try to share it with others. Whatever it is, we should try to pass it on. Don't be a miser. One devotee asked Prabhupada one time, he challenged him. I don't want to go on Sankirtan. I don't want to go on Sankirtan. He didn't want to go on Sankirtan. So he's trying to make all excuses. He said, Prabhupada, I don't know if I'm convinced about the philosophy. I don't like the devotees much. I don't accept the deity as God. I don't like reading the books. I'm not into chanting. He's going off my head. Well, what do you like? What do you like? He said, I just like the prasadam. I like prasadam. And Prabhupada said, all right. So you go out on Sankirtan and you just take prasadam and you just give everybody prasadam and say, this prasadam is wonderful. And you encourage them to distribute prasadam. But whatever it is, we should try to pass it on as a Brahmin. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Granta Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai. Gaura Prēmanandī. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Jananda Goswami Maharaj ki jai.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Gaura Prēmanandī. Hare Krishna. Your Sankirtan results today. Wow. Oh, you got some book distribution yesterday. You're going to read it, or you want me to?